And welcome to the Geeks for the Win podcast, the podcast where we cover all things geeky. This is episode number 52, and I am your host, William, known as Poetic Soul 44, and I'm joined with my co-host, Stuart,
known across the internet as Casual Terror,
and Henry.
Well, hello, neighbor. What's going on? No, what's going on, people? It's nuts.
Wow, that was different. That caught me off guard. Wow. I guess, you know, jump into the show with our first topic, which is a bunch of couple rumors that, you know, as it says, you know, they won't cease. I mean, they just keep coming and coming, and PlayStation 4 and the next Xbox 720 or whatever you want to call it. I guess. Henry, I think you put this up?
Yeah, there have been tons of this stuff coming out over and over again. It just seems like they just won't stop with these rumors and everything. But it was reported today by DigiTimes, where they are supposed to have an insider or insider news which talks about the PlayStation 4. They're talking about that units are supposed to be expected for holiday of 2012 launch. And they're talking about that, you know, Foxconn and the people who actually, you know, manufacture and create the consoles are expected to make 20 million units by that time. If that's true, it just seems really, 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 really far-fetched that PS3, that PlayStation house would be bringing the next console out. I think the reason why they're doing this is just the fact that just to kind of get people amped up, I guess, for a whole lot of nothing. Because I just can't see, you know, with PlayStation's, you know, turmoil that they had with PSN, the rebuild and stuff and everything, and with the success of Kinect and Microsoft selling, you know, more consoles than it ever sold year over year. I just don't see either of these houses moving to make the next console. Then there was a rumor that came out about the Xbox 720 or whatnot or whatever, and has the infamous picture of
the next box.
Yeah, the the flying saucer looking Xbox. You know, that had been out, like you guys said, had been out ever since the 360 launched. So I mean, and they're talking about the same thing. They're talking about how manufacturers, they've already talked to people like Foxconn, and they got rumored and they got insider information about 2012, and they're going to announce it at E3 and just all this stuff and everything. But it just seems like these rumors just will not cease, and people are going crazy retweeting about it, tweeting about it. You know, I personally don't think it's happening. I mean, 2014 at the earliest maybe, but that's about it.
Announcement of 2013, I would say. You know,
yeah,
2013,
I don't
E3.
I don't think that we're going to get a new console. I think the Wii will come out and it'll do whatever it's going to do with the whatever gamer they're trying to go after. I think it has an identity crisis, but I just don't see Microsoft or Sony being that dumb to bring out another console when these consoles have so much life in them left. And I mean, with the announcement of Halo 4, that trumped me at that time, because I thought that they were going to wait till a new console come out. But with the announcement of that, I think that we'll see two more Halo games on this console generation. They've already announced God of War 4 for PlayStation 3. They've already announced plans to kind of continue the Resistance franchise, which I don't know why, but I won't digress into that. But I just don't see these houses moving on anything no time soon. I mean, what do you guys think?
They're not at the point where the software is surpassing the capabilities of the hardware quite yet. Like we're not even at the hardware software line yet. Like the hardware is just it can do a lot more than it is right now. So that's why, you know, we're not going to see it next year. We might see an announcement next year or the year after. But no, it's not going to be out.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the PS3, I think that has the longest life still in it, because people are just now starting to get PS3s. So, you know, people are, because it's now, you know, it recently it's dropped down in price to where it's actually affordable for, you know, people. So people are now starting to, you know, get the PS3s where they've had Xbox. A lot of people have had Xboxes, at least in North America. You know, Xboxes were, the 360s were what most people got versus the PS3 for the longest time. And so, you know, people who are just now getting PS3s, I don't think that would, you know, I think they'd be really, really off put against Sony if they announced the PS4, because that's the whole Xbox to 360 thing that happened last generation. Because my brother, for example, he swears off Xbox, because when he bought an Xbox, they launched the 360 shortly after, and he was so upset about that, and he jumped on, you know, the PS3, you know, Sony's bandwagon because of that. So I don't think, I think that would hurt Sony a lot if they decided to, you know, launch a new console, because people are just now starting to get the PS3s. At least in North America. I know Europe and, you know, Asia, they've had, you know, they've done a lot, they've done a pretty well over there, but here, that's when they're just starting to get it. A new 360 or new Xbox, I don't know. I mean, I think they can still do a lot more with software, because, you know, there's just more things I can see them doing with software and Kinect, and who knows, maybe this saucer thing we're seeing is like an, you know, is just a fake or a prototype picture or something. I don't know. It's something from another peripheral they've been developing, or maybe that was the first Kinect, you know, peripheral, or I don't know. It
that is the Holo Matrix.
Okay.
It's gonna be an add-on for the Kinect.
And it's gonna project holograms.
Exactly.
Oh, there you go. Then there you go, Henry.
Yeah.
you got what you wanted. But you know, I could see them doing stuff like that, adding an extra peripheral or something to extend the console life if they had to. I don't know, because the Kinect, you know, that. So people can say what they want, but that's definitely something new that's given, you know, gaming a new experience and has kept it fresh. You know, I'm mm-hmm. so looking forward to
definitely.
Child of Eden. Gamefly just sent me an email saying they're sending it to me, so I'm so looking forward to playing that. And So next week I'll definitely talk more about that.
Yeah, and that's what I'm kind of saying, like. I mean, if you look at the Kinect and what it's offering, and I mean, despite what everybody feels about Kinect or how you feel about it, I mean, I think Microsoft has probably, other than the Wii, they have probably the best opportunity to capture a brand new audience, which is that casual market. And that's what they want. And I'm fine with that, because I have casual people in my house. I have casual people that visit and that play games, like, you know, that want to be a part of it, you know. And I think, you know, it's like we talked about before. I mean, they spent $500 million in advertising dollars just to advertise the Kinect. Like, the Kinect was their new relaunch. I mean, you don't spend that type of money for no reason. You spend it because you believe in your product and you're trying to get it out to people and you want to sell it to make money. Like, there's no way they're going to shoot themselves in the foot and then make a brand new console when it has so much legs on it. It's just like we were talking about before the podcast. I mean, you know, Sony came out with the PS3, but they were still overly supporting the PS2, and I think that's what kind of hindered them from that process to kind of make the PS3 just chug along, because the PS2 just was an awesome console and it had so much staying power. And neither did they not, you know, support it. They kept supporting it, and that made it hard for the PS3 to have that transition over. So I just don't think it's smart. I mean, we can see from past time that it's not smart to bring a console out too early. Like I said, I don't know what Wii U is doing, but for these two manufacturers, I don't see any reason for them to move. I really, really don't. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And it's the Wii, as far as the Wii U, I think it's too late. I think, for me anyways, something like the Wii U is just too late to come out. But that should have been what the Wii was
two years ago.
Yeah, they're just playing catch up now.
Yeah, because I mean, once that comes out, holiday 2012, and what if we get a new 360 or PS4 in 2014 or 2013 even? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think, but then again, who knows? The casual market may eat it up and love it. But I honestly don't know what the casual market will do.
That's what I'm saying, because it's like, yeah, because they already have a Wii, and this came out of Nintendo's own mouth by Reggie Fils-Aimé, their front guy. He basically said, one year ago this E3 that casual gamers don't care about HD graphics. HD graphics are not even important to the hardcore.
And they said internet wasn't important online. Yeah.
I mean, so if you have that type of belief, then who are you really marketing to? Like, do you think you're going to get that much of the hardcore to move because you have HD graphics? Do you think that you're going to get – you're most certainly not going to get 95 million casual players to come over to the Wii U because, guess what? Just like you said, they don't care about it. All they want to do is play their Wii Sports and that's it. Like, there's nothing compelling for them to go over there and buy another $300 console when they can play their – their EA Sports Active and their Wii Balance Board and their Wii Sports on that console that they already own, And I think that's where all this speculation stuff is really coming from, stemming from everything, is that people think that this is back in the 90s or back in the 80s when console manufacturers were clamoring to get their console out first. And that's when we had,
Well, that's because advancements in technology were just, going from 16-bit to 8-bit to 16-bit to actual 3D graphics to,
Yeah, or even our rendering. Like, look at, the Neo Geo console, the Jaguar, the Sega Master System. I mean, all these consoles were like little one-offs away from the main consoles, like the Sega Genesis, the SNES, the Nintendo, Super Nintendo. You had all these extra little consoles that were sorely expensive at the time, because they could render graphics, they could have cel shaded stuff, they could have multiple sprites on screen, they could play Final Fight and your Samurai Showdowns and everything and stuff like that. But I don't think that technology is that way anymore. I mean, look at Sega, they kind of dropped off the hardware wagon and they're making software now, and everybody's kind of, the only console manufacturer that I can think of that took a risk in this time period that we live in now is probably the OnLive guys. That's probably the only, and that's not really a console. That's just a media hub that streams content, So they don't really have any major overhead when it comes to actually manufacturing consoles.
Well, they have little set-top boxes, but yeah, I get your point. But yeah, I think honestly, Sony can't afford, after the whole, I know it wasn't, bankrupting, like the figure said that the, hacking the PSN was going to be, but I think, they did lose a lot of money, and I don't think they can afford to bring out a new console yet.
Yeah.
To milk the PS3 for what they can.
Yeah. And you got to think that that's almost a slap in the face to their investors to like come out and tell them, hey, we're restructuring, we're going to rebuild, we're going to make this better, and then go out and spend, I don't know, $600 million just to do a relaunch of a new console and build a new console and manufacturing costs and things like that. It's just that just wouldn't sit well with the board of investors.
Yeah, so that's my thoughts.
So people just squash it. It's not coming out until 2014, like Poetic says. Maybe get an announcement in 2013, but it's not happening.
Yeah.
And then nothing too. Like I'm sorry, but are people just that eager to drop another $300-$400 on a brand new console?
Well,
I know I'm not.
I am for the Gears of War 3 Xbox, but that's about it. Because I need a Slim, and I need
Yeah, but you still have your trade up cost that you can get a lot of money for right now too.
Yeah.
So
The people spreading this rumor are like, yeah, we want a new console. What? It's going to cost money? No way. No. What? I mean, really?
Lazarus Vector says, I don't even have a PS3 to go along with my 360 yet.
I'm the same way.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, like I said, people are now starting to get PS3s. I mean, they're just, I mean, it's now affordable where people can get them. And, you know, Sony adds another price cut and people will even more people will, you know, jump on that. And it's stupid if Sony releases something this soon because they're just hurting themselves.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I guess next topic is Stuart. I guess you say the trend of June is games going free to play.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, but like a bunch of games went free to play in June. Like Steam came out with five games that were free to play. Obviously six because Team Fortress 2, and like four of them were MMOs. Now World of Warcraft is free to play up to level 20, and now Age of Conan is going free to play. I mean, I went looking, and I think I found five MMOs that are not free to play. Out of all the MMOs out there, five are not.
Well, that's because with MMOs, you can do microtransactions that, you know, people, little things people, lots of people can buy that they think, oh, it's only, you know, $1 or only $2 to get this and that. And I mean,
I know, but I mean, it's going from, you know, $15 a month to free to play with, you know, occasionally buying something if you want it.
People are more, you know, more likely to, you know, spend more money on like, oh, only $1 for this armor or, you know, $5 for this armor. Because I can just tell you to look at your friends list on Xbox when you log in and look and see all the different people wearing all the different, you know, fake clothes and stuff. I mean,
I know, but I mean, if you look at it, you know, like I understand like this is going on with the economy. You know, I understand that. I totally do. But I mean, from $15 a month, you know, everybody paying $15 a month, to everybody occasionally paying $1 or $2. I mean,
I would think more than $1 or $2 a month.
Yeah,
I mean, and
yeah,
you get more people in. You know,
no,
would you rather have 20? Would you rather have like 2 million people paying $15, or would you rather have like 5 million paying like, you know, five, maybe $10
and
random stuff?
Overestimating how many people actually buy the little stuff.
No, I don't think he is. Because
like I said, look at Xbox Live. People buy stuff every time they come out.
Dude,
I know.
You can even look at World of Warcraft. What's that war horse or that mystical horse or whatever that people are paying like $40 for it online or $25 over it?
15.
I mean, but look, I mean, okay, $15 for a mystical horse it's a mount, right?
Yeah, it's a mount.
That's one thing.
That's one thing. But I mean, just imagine how many people bought that thing. And if you go free to play, where everything is
quite a bit.
Yeah,
that was the very first paid mount. Now the second mount that just came out recently, the Winged Guardian, I barely see any at all.
What's the price?
That are also free to play that are like $10. I don't see any of them. The mounts are about $25, and then the pets are like $10.
Are you serious?
I've listened to lots of podcasts and have heard lots of people talk about buying different pets and stuff though. So I don't know.
That's great.
I don't play. I just know what I've heard. So
yeah, I mean, I don't claim to be an MMO expert, but I do know that multiple earnings calls every time developers get backed up into a corner. You can look at games like what was that game that came out? Tabula Rasa, Star Wars Galaxy. There was a couple others that came out that you know, when they got backed into a corner, they went free to play And they announced more earnings when they went free to play than they did when they were charging, you know, an actual monthly fee. Now, World of Warcraft is going to be the big giant.
Tabula Rasa does not exist anymore, and Star Wars Galaxies is ending in December.
Well, I know that, but I'm just talking about the amount of money that they earned going free to play and just doing microtransactional type stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and they earned more because I don't think anybody's going to topple, you know, I mean, the giant, which is World of Warcraft. I mean, it's a money machine because it's so synonymous with, you know, online MMO gamers. But
and it already has that many people, you know, on there. Anyway,
yeah, sunk so. Into it. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, with stuff like you said, I mean, it's free to play up to level 20. I mean, you may get there quick, but the average person that just dips on and dips off, you know, they can get their playtime in like that, you know. So, I mean, yeah. I think it's a good model, and I think they'll do it a whole lot more, especially on consoles like 360 that charges for online, because I don't think that the console gamer is ready to pay a fee every month. I mean, because you look at that with, you know, PS3 with DCUO, PS3 is free to play online, and people still, after that 30 days, they were like,
And you can't trade the disc in?
Right.
You're stuck with the $60 purchase, yeah. And...
So I think the free-to-play model is fine, because... As a developer, say for instance, DCUO went free to play, and it was free to play online. People would still go back in it because, hey, it's free to play. But hey, if I run across, you know, a stage or you know, a quest or whatever, or I got this piece of armor, or I need this armor to beat this stage or whatever, people would probably pay you know $2 or $3 or whatever to get this extra piece of armor to, you know, get to this last level a whole lot faster, or get to the next level a lot faster. I think people will do that, you know, but now, you know.
Definitely. Say I join World of Warcraft and Stuart's already a level 80, whatever the cap is.
Five.
You know, it's free. Oh, I can pay five, you know, $10 to basically get a better advantage so I can play with Stuart and keep up.
Right.
And not,
exactly.
I'll do that for sure. I mean, I think that Stuart, you really are underestimating how many people are likely to do that stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, look at the Facebook games. Nobody will do it. I'm not saying nobody will do it. I'm just saying it's not going to be a whole lot. But I mean, what? Yeah. Okay,
I don't know, Stuart. There's a whole lot of people go ahead.
You guys do not play MMOs. Would you consider playing these MMOs that now that they're free?
I honestly would, seriously, because that's my biggest barrier. I mean, dude, I work a I'm telling you something, and there's a lot of gamers like me. I mean, I'm 28 years old, so I'm about the cusp of that average gamer. Here's my normal day today, and this is the reason why I don't play MMOs anymore. I go to work, I come home, I have a wife, I have a son. My work is field. I got church. I got all these different other activities. I mean, I'm a father. I'm doing things and everything else or whatever.
On 20 different podcasts a week.
Exactly. I mean, if they had a free to play model that lets me get my time in, or lets me skip the amount of hours that, say, my younger brother plays, then I'm the type of guy. Hey, I got a couple Microsoft points laying around. I got some extra PSN cash in my wallet. Hey, I'll pay the $10 to get level whatever, or get this level whatever shard or weapon or whatever, so I can play with these guys and, you know, and put it down. And then I'm the type of guy where, and this is the reason why I don't play MMOs, because of the fact that I got so many things going on and I'm so busy, like. I feel like I'm wasting my money every month, because months go by. I mean, we have game nights. We have so many game nights. We play other things than MMO. I don't have the time to sink that amount of time into it. So I would be the guy that would rather pay and, you know, hey, just pay and get where I need to get to and play with you guys for a couple hours and then hop off, and I'll play it probably 2 weeks from now. But hey, 2 weeks from now, it's still free, and if I want something extra or something more to get me where I need to be, I'll just pay again. I'll pay the $5, or I'll pay the dollar or whatever. And I think they'll make so much money on people like me, because, you know, I mean, there's a lot of me out there, you know.
I guess I'm in a smaller group than I thought, as an MMO purist, you know.
Well, I mean, a purist of anything is going to be a small minority.
Yeah.
Hence the name purist.
But, I mean, I come to think of it, I just remembered seeing something not too long ago about Hellgate London coming, relaunched as free-to-play. I mean, that came out in 2007, and it failed and did, I mean, it, from what I heard, the game was actually good when you could play it, but it just had problems, and the company went bankrupt, but I hear someone else is re-bringing it out free-to-play. They already did it in, I think, Korea, and now, and they're expecting it to relaunch in North America soon. That was always one I was really really interested in, and I'm definitely going to try that when it comes free-to-play, and, you know, as soon as I get a better, you know, actual desktop gaming PC, I'm going to be playing a lot more. I'll try any free-to-play games, basically. I mean, right now I just have a laptop, and it's really, sure, I can play games on my laptop. It's got the graphics card capable of it, but it's just, I don't want to destroy my laptop even more by doing stuff that it's really not meant to do.
Okay, looking ahead, do you think every future MMO should be free-to-play to a point?
I don't think that every one of them should be free-to-play. Like, I don't know, are you speaking from the consumer standpoint or from, like, the business standpoint? Because from the business standpoint, I think that they should be free-to-play. Unless you're somebody like Blizzard, who can just put out anything, just like Halo, they can put out anything and people will buy it, you know? From a business standpoint...
Here's the thing on World of Warcraft. Here's the thing why World of Warcraft went free, and I saw this coming. There was a huge dip, like, within the past 6 months ago. There's been a huge dip. Like, they have
you
lost...
You mean in sale, or like, you mean in usership?
In users. Like they hit 12 million, they're now down 0.6 million.
Wow, that is a big hit. Wow. So you think World of Warcraft is? You think there's a chance of something else taking over?
I think if something else comes out soon, and you know there's one on the horizon that a lot of people want to play. Yeah, that one. If it comes out really soon, I think they can really take the market in the MMO.
Wow, that's crazy! Slaying the beast. That's World of Warcraft. Wow.
I mean,
it can be done, man. Right. People now, thought that Halo think, couldn't be toppled.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a matter of time, and that's it. I mean, right now, number two is Rift in the MMO market, and you know, it's doing pretty well for itself.
Yeah. How long has World of Warcraft been out?
They're coming up on year 7 or 6.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah, that makes sense then. I mean, God, playing the same game just about. I know there's different stuff added, but, I mean, for 7 years, wow.
Yeah, you can only do that for so long until people want to play a new game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think they're starting to hit that point.
I don't know, it's crazy to think about, because I honestly didn't know that it dropped that badly.
Yeah, it's a point six of a number, but yeah, 0.6 million, that's a big number.
Yeah, that is a big number. Maybe those people are just, maybe those, the 0.6 million are the people who, maybe they're just getting arrested from neglecting their children and stuff like that.
And then those.
Oh, God, it's so sad, all the stories I've heard about, you know, about that. There's many.
Please don't get started on that story, man.
There's so many of them. Yeah. That's what's sad.
There are.
I even stopped listening to a podcast because they kept, every time something like that happened, they kept talking about it. And, you know, of course they would say it was stupid and those people, they deserve to go to jail and they're horrible. But still, just bringing that up. And that's also a reason why I don't watch the news anymore, is because it's just, I don't like to hear sad shit.
It's even worse to hear
the news.
Yeah, it's even worse to hear shows or people joking about it, you know, making light of it like it's something funny when it's not. Yeah. And silence.
Especially because you'll laugh at it real quick, and then you'll realize what the joke was, and you'll be like, "Oh, I feel bad for laughing now." That's what happens to me sometimes. I laugh at certain jokes, and then, but anyways,
all right.
I guess we can move on to our next topic, which is Google Plus, which is, I think it's a week old, or almost a week old now. So, yeah. And
it's just about a week old.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, I've seen so many people, like when I got in, you know, I posted and I had so many people asking me to get them in and send them invites, and it got to a point where, you know, I guess there was a loophole. I found another loophole with a bunch of other people, of course, but there was just a easier loophole where anyone could basically send invites to anybody, like, easily, and they had to shut that down because I guess they're servers or whatever couldn't handle that many people. And well, what do you guys think of it? I mean, I know Henry, you haven't had a chance to dive into it that much, but
yeah, I mean personally, right now, I'm actually liking most of the features that it had. We were talking about it before the podcast started about the circles. I like that personally because I have you know, people that I associated with at work. I have people that I have friends. I have people that, you know, people like my immediate family, you know, like my wife and my cousins and my uncle and my mother, people like that and everything. Then I have like my church family, which is kind of coincides with that circle. And I like the fact how you can just drag and drop people. You can copy people, because a lot of people that go to my church or a lot of people that I know in my immediate family is kind of the same thing, but I can have separated circles for each one of those groups. And I mean, that feature alone, I love it because that just adds that extra customization to your social life, you know?
Yeah. And this is less likely to get you fired like Facebook is.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
The lady who said her boss was an asshole and all this and stuff, and then she forgot her boss was her friend on Facebook, and said, "Don't come into work, you're fired."
Wow,
that's one of the biggest. I mean, that's one of the things that comes to mind, that story, when I hear about this, because you can have a work circle, you can have, you know, my online gaming friends circle, my local friends circle, my, you know, family circle, because, I mean, there's stuff I like to keep Twitter and Facebook separate because I like to have, you know, I don't want to say certain things on Twitter because, you know, a lot of my Facebook friends, which I just use Facebook, just, I don't know. I don't even know why I have Facebook, but
Facebook is,
well, it's the only way I have to keep in touch with certain people, sadly, but yeah. You know, I don't want to say certain things, not inappropriate things, but just my Facebook friends just wouldn't understand some of the techie stuff I say on Twitter.
Well, yeah, and like, you know, it can also go, you know, like, I'm not going to post, you know, hey, I'm going on vacation on Facebook, but I might on Twitter because nobody I follow or follows me lives anywhere close to me on Twitter.
Yeah, well, I guess that's true. Huh. But I really like the whole circles thing. I think that's just a brilliant idea. What else? Stuart and I, we real quickly tested the Hangout, which is the video chat.
Yeah, and for like we tested it for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean it took like 30 seconds for it all to register and load and stuff, but it was pretty cool. I think my computer, the computer I was using just needs so many more other updates. I think that's the reason why it wasn't working great on me. But from basically when you talk, you know, it can hold up to 10 people, and whenever someone talks, their picture, I guess, shows up. And, you know, so that's pretty cool. I could see, I've seen posts, I sent Stuart a post where I think it was Fandroid with a PH. They did a post on how to do video podcasting through this. So that's pretty cool in itself. I mean, I don't expect us to do any video podcasts anytime soon, but I mean, it's just
we might try.
Yeah, and I mean, the up to 10 people video chatting, that's free. Skype, you can't do that without paying for it.
Yeah.
So right there, that's something that's, you know, that's really cool right there. What else? The
Huddle.
Oh, I was about to go to Sparks. I guess it.
I don't understand what Sparks are.
Yeah, me either. You're gonna have to explain that because I don't understand what Sparks is either.
Unfortunately, I'm not that clear either. I know it has something. It has something to do with, like, you can search for different things. It's something to do with searching, and I guess
I have video games, technology, and I have no idea what it's for.
I don't know. I don't think the video I posted in the show notes really explained too much detail on it, but I guess it's something there for people who know what it is, and I haven't really looked at it too much. I've just been too busy with, you know, giving other people into it and stuff like that, and but I guess Huddle is something really cool. I tested this out. It's on the Android app, which there should be an iPhone app coming soon for Google Plus.
Yeah.
They've already submitted it. It just needs approval by Apple. But what you can basically do is you can add individual people or you can add whole circles. And it's like instant messenger, basically. So, like, I can add, you know, the Geeks FTW circle I have, which right now it just has Stuart and Henry, and, you know, we could talk about next week's show, and, you know, basically it seems way easier to talk about stuff on, you know, through to multiple people than emailing, because I mean it,
or sending DMs.
Yeah, because you can only send a DM to one person at a time. So, you know, on Twitter, if I sent both of you two a DM about something, I'd have to send it twice. Which, I mean, that's not too hard, you know. Type it up, copy, paste, send, but still, I mean, this, it's right there, it's on my phone, I can, you know, I can get a notification whenever y'all said something, so I can check, and it just seems really cool. And you, when the iPhone app comes out, Henry, you gotta get it, and we gotta try it out, because it was really cool.
Yeah, I'll be testing it out, because, I mean, what I'm looking at as far as the app, as far as on Google, kind of what they have as far as a couple posts and stuff like that. I mean, it looks really, really intuitive. I'm looking at the Android app too. I mean, this may be my new social, you know, area. Cause you can do a lot on here, and then you can adapt it and personalize it towards you. So I'm real curious to see the app also, to see what exactly I can do with it.
Yeah. As far as the Android one, you've got to go into the settings and change the notifications to how you want it, because they have it defaulted to send you notifications for, like, everything. That was kind of driving me crazy at first, but I'm curious to see if they launch it as, like, if they have Google Plus and then they have Huddle, because when you download the Google Plus app, there's actually two apps for on Android, the Google Plus, where you can go into Huddle, and there's a separate Huddle app that's dedicated just to it. So, I mean, did you not notice that, Stuart?
No, I didn't, because I just, you know, I just downloaded the Google Plus app.
No, I mean, when you download the Google Plus app, it's basically there's a shortcut to just straight Huddle. If you look in your icons menu. It is there?
Yeah, it's there.
Okay. So I mean that's something cool. For the Android app, there's a widget where you can, you know, I guess quickly share stuff or whatever, but I'm just waiting for like a Huddle widget where you can have your, you know, timeline or Huddle stream or whatever they're calling it, you know, as a widget. But I really expect to be using Huddle with at least you guys, you two, a lot.
Oh yeah, like let's see, what was it? Sunday? You know, I was out playing golf, and you know, I was chatting with, you know, there's like six of us chatting on Huddle.
Oh yeah, because I sent the Huddle thing to just test it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was pretty cool. I mean, and I definitely, you know, this will be really awesome when, say, two people, you know, you see two people tweeting on Twitter and it's basically an argument. You could just, you know, do this and not, you know, tweet and everyone see it. You can just, you know, go back and forth.
But those are fun to watch.
Sometimes it gets old, like when Cookie's.
Yeah,
you know, some of the stuff Cookie does.
You and Cookie get into it.
Yeah.
Hey, I've been backing down. I've been backing away from Cookie whenever.
That's your own fault, though. That's your own fault. I tell you all the time, don't do it. Don't do. Oh yeah, he's doing it. He's doing it.
Hey, I try. I do try to stop a lot, and Cookie just keeps on just tweeting, and I'm just like, okay, I stopped. Just stop, Cookie. Stop. You already said a tweet. Don't tweet after, you know, don't tweet again after you've already tweeted.
That's funny.
Fun to watch, though.
So, I mean, there's a lot of other incidents that happens where I'm like, you know, I don't want to see y'all argue on Twitter. And I really try not to anymore because I don't want to lose any of the few followers I do have because of that. Because I can, you know, it irritates me having to argue on Twitter. I can assume how badly it irritates other people. But that's what I like about this, though, is because it's customizable to where you can have anybody. You can post something and you can select who sees it. That's, you know, that's just a big problem that Twitter has. I mean, I got, you know, friends. I don't expect to have any family, so I, you know, deleted that circle. I don't expect it because none of my family is on Twitter or Facebook anyways. So, you know, I got friends. I've got, you know, the Geeks FTW. I have following and something else. And, you know, friends are people I talk to a lot. Following is just people I, you know, don't really know too well, but I follow them on Twitter anyways, and you know, I don't want to spam people's inboxes who I don't really talk to and I just follow. Like, you know, I don't know. It's just really, really cool feature. And people, if you're into this, and you know, I guess let us know if you want an invite, because I think we can still, there's still ways to send invites. But if you're in Google Plus, use it. Because that's how it'll, if you're tired of Facebook, I know a lot of people bitch and complain about Facebook, use Google Plus and, you know, keep using it and supporting it and it'll succeed and be better than Facebook if people actually use it.
Yep.
Because I know Google last year, they tried doing something. They tried, like, I think they tried tackling, like, Twitter with Buzz.
Or no,
yeah.
It was Wave.
No, they did Wave, but Buzz was one too. But Wave was kind of like what Huddle is, basically.
Yeah, I never understood what, you know, got into the Wave or Buzz.
Well, Buzz was kind of like a Twitter clone.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
but
so
Wave.
That's what I thought.
Wave was you could pick who you wanted in your, you know, I guess, Wave, and then, you know, you could chat and see their replies in real time and stuff like that. That's basically what Huddle is. So I'm glad it seems like they took that feature and they added it in a better way to this. But, you know, it's gotten a lot of people have really been wanting to get into this, and it's gotten a lot of interest. So I'm definitely curious to see if this does take over like Facebook and, you know, I guess, you know, MySpace, that's a joke. I mean, they just sold for like $35 million to something about Justin Timberlake's going to be helping them or taking over or something. I don't know. I heard something like that. They're going to focus on music and stuff like that. And Justin Timberlake's going to be a CEO or something. I don't know. It's just something I glanced on.
Yeah, I saw it too.
Yeah, nothing. I was like, okay, I'm going to click to read more. I was like, I don't care. I haven't used MySpace in so long. And back then, I hated MySpace anyways. It was just obnoxious. You click on someone to view their stuff, and they'd have some, you know, all your web page would basically crash because it couldn't handle all the crap they had on it.
Yeah, and or if it did, though, to play the god-awful music.
Whatever they wanted, yeah. Music
you don't want to listen to.
Exactly.
Because it was always music you were not into.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, that MySpace is just about to die. I don't think they're going to come back. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I guess
MySpace has turned into a digital Craigslist now. And I'm not talking about the good side of Craigslist either. I'm talking about all the ads with porn ops and pinups.
That's what I was about to say.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, a social Craigslist.
Oh, that's too funny. But, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, I go on Craigslist sometimes to look at the people who are posting, you know, wanting to meet people, and I read it just for laughs. It's just funny. I'm like, wow, that's sad. You guys are sad. Because I don't trust random people on the internet to, as far as that stuff. But anyways, I guess we can jump into I Recommend, where this week was my week, and I picked The Deadliest Warrior. And I know, Stuart, you had watched it previously, uh-huh. And I watched it. I picked it. But Henry, you said you watched bits and pieces, but never a full episode.
Well, yeah, this is the first time I ever watched a full episode. I liked it in parts, but this seems like a show that is better done in like maybe like a 20-second. I don't know. I'm sorry, not 20-second, but like a 20-minute show. Like a lot of the stuff, I understood why they had to kind of drag it out, but it just felt like they were over explaining a lot of stuff. I understand why they do it because the audience they're going after, they want to know all that stuff. But I was like, I mean, come on, just get to the main weapons and get to the main fight so I can see, you know, what's going on. But like I don't know, but. To like you guys, does some of the acting seem kind of rehearsed or something? You know, like some of the banter between the, you know, the two opposite ends, like it kind of seems like they're like fed lines a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, some of it like, you know, like, yeah, hey, you're supposed to hate this person, go for it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it almost felt like that. But as far as what the show is about, oh, that's an awesome concept. Like when you get to the end of the show and you see the fights and everything, right? Or like when you see, you know, the different weaponry and how powerful it is. Like the whole science and the whole history part of it, I absolutely loved. But all the banter between the guys, the two different people, whoever they're picking, they could have saved that stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Some of that stuff is. You know, but as far as like when you do the Navy SEAL versus Israeli commando, that stuff I could see them freaking, you know, trash talking because they aren't actual Navy SEALs and they are, yeah. You know, Israeli commandos, so, you know, they're
our allies too.
Yeah, but I can see them being proud of what they are. And but, you know, as far as the people who are doing like Attila the Hutt and Alexander the Great, I mean, really, you're gonna really trash talk that much to defend people? That I don't know, but
yeah, the only people that I can see that may do trash talking is I watched one where it was the Apache versus I think it's like episode one. I think it's like the Apache versus like a
gladiator.
Yeah, gladiator or whatever.
Yeah,
now I can see that guy talking noise because that guy was a full-fledged. He's a full-blooded Apache. Like he came from descendants of descendants of descendants. So I can see him talking trash. But somebody who's representing pirates, like, are you serious? Like you're talking trash about books that you read, like it's not even like your actual lineage or something, you know. But yeah, that was probably the only part. But like I said, I mean, the weaponry and the science of it and how they I never seen those things where they create like a whole upper torso with blood and everything. The skull is kind of remade and everything. Like that was
pretty cool. They'll use a pig to replicate, yeah, stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty nice, man.
Well, I mean,
I always like it when they go like, okay, now just hit this once. They hit it like 10 times.
Oh yeah.
just said hit it once.
Oh, when they're stabbing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh wow, you decapitated him. Yeah, because you fucking sliced him like 50 times.
Yeah. Did you see how those guys were using those knives when it came to the Navy SEALs and the Israeli dudes, yeah. Man? I would hate to be in prison with those guys, man. Or close quarter combat, dude. Like he cut that thing like 18 times in like a matter of a minute, man. Like that's ridiculous. Like
the Navy SEAL, they decapitated that dude like quick though, too.
Man. That is insane, man.
And what, didn't he stick his knife in the neck hole, too?
Yeah. Yeah. He, like, stabbed him, like, 8 times in the torso.
No, I mean, he just stuck his knife in the neck hole and just left it there at the end.
he pushed the head off and just continued stabbing the guy. I'm like, I think he's dead.
Well, they got to also show how quick you can, you know, how fast the velocity is of you stabbing and stuff like that, so... You know, if you stab them enough times, you can, I guess, get a better representation of how fast, because, you know, how fast,
if
you know,
average stabbing. If you push his head off his shoulders and it rolls away, I think he's dead.
You know.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But, I mean.
Yeah.
But I thought the Navy SEAL versus Israeli Commando was really awesome because, you know, I play Call of Duty and I use some of the guns that are in there, and I'm like, oh, wow, they're actually firing and showing which is better. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool because, you know, some of the stuff they showed, like the Commando versus the Galil, the Commando is a better weapon in Call of Duty. So
nothing like the M4, man.
So that's just, I mean, that gave me an appreciation for Call of Duty because, you know, they're more, you know, it seems like they're more legit as far as their weapons, according to this. But I mean, I'm really excited for season 3 because I'm just not sure what else they can do. I mean, they've just done a bunch of things.
Yeah, but that guy with the computer analysis stuff or whatever, I don't know, man. He got to go back and check his facts, man, because the Yakuza versus the Mafia. I'm sorry, man. I got to give it to the Yakuza, man. I just can't believe. Come on, man. An ice pick versus size? Are you serious? Come on, man. I think that the Yakuza should have won, man. Like, I just can't. I mean, maybe when you factor in the Tommy gun and stuff like that, because it is more powerful technically, but no. Hand-to-hand combat, the Yakuza's winning every time. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think that's I think some of those things, of course, I don't agree with. You know, there's a lot of these I pick that I definitely don't agree with. But you know, I guess it's science, and they did do you like you said, they dragged it out, and they did do the research and the tests and stuff. And
Yeah, they give the stats after each match and tell you, you know, out of 1,000 matches, you know, this person won 586 times, this person won 414 times or whatever. So the victor out of 1,000 matches would be this person. So I guess they do calculate it, man. But it just what did you guys think about the pirate in the night?
I thought that was accurate. I mean, the pirate does have a gun.
Yeah, I mean,
and
but the gun is completely not accurate at all. And I do kind of respect that they did show the gun, like the flintlock messing up.
Yeah. They did show it.
And some of the newer stuff too, they'll show like the guns jamming, Green Beret versus the Spetsnaz. Modern stuff like that. They'll show sometimes the guns will, you know, get in the mud or whatever, and they won't be, you know, they'll jam up and stuff like that. So I thought that was interesting.
It was cool.
But sorry, Stuart, go ahead.
Nope, that was it.
Yeah, but I mean, I think I agree with the fact that the pirate versus the knight, because the pirate has no code of ethics, nothing. The knight is more of a, you know, is more of a honor type figure. The pirate will just do whatever it can to kill you and defend itself. So, but I enjoyed that. I really did like the. What do you guys, do you like the older stuff or the more recent matches better?
I like the older stuff just to kind of get an idea.
Yeah.
I like the older stuff. I mean, because the newer stuff, it's really kind of hard to calculate because they can do most of the calculations, you know. I mean, the system, of course, can actually do it. But when you're talking about, when you get into like more modern day stuff like guns and stuff like that, talking about M4s and stuff that can pick you off from miles away and, you know, tactical advantages and everything, like sometimes that stuff just comes down to who's more accurate, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because a bullet is a bullet, you know. I mean if you get hit by a bullet in the right place, I mean you're pretty much dead. But like I think they can give, I think that the more exciting fights or the old school stuff, like if you had a samurai versus a knight or like a ninja versus I don't know, you know, something or a gladiator or whatever, because then you start
ninja
to calculate
Spartan.
Because then you start to calculate skill, you start to calculate weaponry, you know, the pounds of pressure each weapon has, rather than just, you know, measuring pounds of pressure as far as a bullet. Because, you know, if I have a 9mm Glock and you have an M4, you can shoot more than I can. But if I'm accurate with that 9mm and I get one shot off, a headshot, it's just done, you know?
Yeah, but if you look at, like, the Navy SEAL versus Israeli Commando, they were each, you know, they each represented them because they were it. And you could get that, as far as something like that goes, I like, because you saw with the pistols, you know, the Navy SEAL, that dude, he killed, like, you know, he shot all the lamps and killed the two guys like way quicker than the other guy.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And he used, you know, less bullets too. So I mean, stuff like that I like, but I do like the old stuff definitely. But you know, I think that's one of my favorite episodes right there, is the Navy SEAL versus Israeli Commando. I really think it mainly because the people, you know, they were Navy, they, you know, were Navy SEAL and they knew how to use the weapons, because it seems like a lot of these people who do the, you know, sort of represent like the pirates or stuff, they could be a lot better shape and they could, you know.
No.
But
I think my favorite episode has to be the William Wallace versus Shaka Zulu.
Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one.
I never saw that one. I gotta go see that one.
Yeah, that's number 8. I'm looking at the list right now. But what I thought was cool is I think episode 10 of season 1 is like Back for Blood, and I think that's if I'm remembering correctly, they took like winners from the others, like pirate won against knight, and they put the pirate up against something else, and then they put some, you know, and they they basically did a like who wins, you know, back then, you know, as far as older time, and who wins modern day time.
Yeah,
they
made it like a
tournament almost.
I haven't watched that one yet.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that one yet, but
that's a really good one. I totally forgot they did that. But yeah, definitely. That was my pick, and I'm, you know, I love that show. The third season's supposed to come out sometime this month, I think. I don't have any information in front of me, but Deadliest Warriors on Netflix Instant Watch, first two seasons. Check it out, guys. It's some good stuff. And I guess what it's time for. Wait, whose pick is it next week?
No, it's not.
Whose pick is it?
It's my turn. And kind of similar to my last pick with the comic books and movies. There's another Starz Inside documentary called Hollywood Goes Gaming, which is, you know, basically the same thing only with games instead of comic books. I think it's pretty interesting.
Okay, then you said that's Hollywood Goes Gaming?
Hollywood Goes Gaming.
Oh, another Starz Inside, which...
Yep.
I hope we were kind of talking about this, you know, like on Twitter or whatever. I really hope that since, you know, Netflix has a thing with Starz, that when, you know, Torchwood comes out, that it'll be on Netflix like the next day, like they do with other stuff. I think that Spartacus show. I saw someone on Twitter say that came to Netflix the next day after.
Uh huh. Yeah, we were having a conversation about that one.
Let's yeah.
See, it was going back. It was JT Wise.
Yeah. Okay.
On Twitter, who said that?
Yeah. So, I guess that there's your pick, guys. For all you who've been just, you know, told us you'd like to know before time. So you can watch the stuff. There you go. I guess, what's next? The question of the week?
No, because somebody screwed up. I don't know who. I honestly don't know who screwed up this time. Because I heard I was going to be getting a question this week, but I never got the questions.
I think I said I would try to think of something.
No, I thought you said you had one. But,
Oh, if I did, I don't have one this week. Know.
I put one in the chat if you want to give it to everybody so we can have it next week.
Yeah, okay. For next week, then. This has come from Knox. If you had to be on a desert island with one game and what... if you had to be on a desert island with one game
and
what game console and one game console, what would it be? So
I already know.
Old or new?
I already know Henry's. Wait, well, actually, I don't know. Which Halo would it be, Henry? No.
Right? Tune in next week and find out.
Series does not count as one game.
Yeah. Series does not count as one
game.
There's
not a Halo collection yet.
So in this desert island, would you have online capability or just... single player only, or how would this work?
It's whatever the game allows, you would be able to play it. So whether it be multiplayer, online, whatever, it doesn't matter. The game will function with all its features.
Okay.
So, desert island, one game, one console, what would they be?
Okay. I always thought these questions were funny, because it's like, why are you trapped on a desert island, and how the hell did you... managed to grab such and such. No,
I know.
Beforehand.
Why would you go after a gaming console?
What?
It's like if I could get on Xbox Live, I'd be like, get me off this island.
I know. Where's the power coming from?
They
probably got polar bears running inside Ferris wheels like gerbils, creating power and generators.
Yeah. Only, well, it's kind of
funny. That's why the polar bears were on Lost.
Exactly.
Don't even start that. It's kind of funny, though, on the new Shangri-La zombie map pack, they're like, okay, time to turn on the power. Wait, power in the jungle? Really, Treyarch? Come on. But it is cool because they show, like, underground, there's, like, this water turbine and whatever that generates power, so there it does explain that, but I thought that was kind of funny. They, you know, broke the fourth wall, and with Joe, they do always do that, so. But I guess that's it for the show, then.
Yes, sir.
I guess if, you know, I mentioned... Well, I mentioned that in the bonus content, so never mind. Android app and iPhone app, you know, check them out. We did a pretty lengthy bonus content this week. last week we had like, I think, 30 minutes worth. So
I think this week we have just as much.
Yeah, if not a little more. So definitely, you know, check out the Android app on the Android Marketplace, or I guess Amazon App Store if you're, you know, dedicated to Amazon. And the iPhone app can be found in the Podcast Box app, which is free to download, and it's, you know, it's a app within an app loophole, basically, because Apple's weird like that. Facebook and Twitter, you know, you can follow us and contact us on, you know, The Geeks FTW. Just search for that and you can find us. Whenever we have articles that publish or anything, new podcasts, they automatically go to those feeds, so you can definitely check that out. Send us an email, thegeeksftw@gmail.com, for, you know, if you're interested in joining the, you know, joining us, for whether it be on the site writing or you know, guest host, hit us up. Let us know. I mean, we've been doing the show without a guest host for a while because just no one's really, you know, spoken up and said anything. Or I guess we haven't thought of anybody to ask. But I think it's about time to have a guest. But yeah. I guess iTunes reviews, of course, that helps us out a lot. And our Ustream show. Right now we've got where's the Ustream? Okay. We've had Lazarus Vector and Ace. I think those are the only two that's been in the chat tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate you guys for coming in to the chat and participating. The chat can get really crazy sometimes. It's been kind of slow today.
Yeah.
But recent times it just gets crazy, and you just have to be here and look at the chat to see the crazy stuff, because it's just awesome. And I guess our voice line, you know, 1347 Geek FTW, 1-347-433-5389, and I guess that's it for all the. Wait, actually no. I just posted today. You can. We now have T-shirts where you can get with the logos. You can get other stuff from it too, but you know we just signed up for it just basically for T-shirts. I mean, I guess you could get hoodies and other random stuff when it gets warm or colder. Yeah, coffee mug maybe. But
have a nice cup of Joe with the Geeks FTW personal mug.
But yeah, it's definitely a great way to, you know, we're not going to take donations. I know there are lots of podcasts take donations where, you know, basically just to, you know, help us keep the lights on. But, you know, everyone needs a T-shirt. Everyone needs to wear clothes anyways. So why not just, you know, it says The Geeks for FTW for the win. You know, no, we took out it's basically our banner on the site. But we took out the writing underneath. I can't remember what it's something about games, movies, video game, or
we can't remember what it is.
Geek out over movies, video games, comics, and TV shows. We took that out, so it's just The Geeks FTW. So, you know, you can still wear it, and, you know, people won't really ask you what the hell is that necessarily, because, you know, FTW, a lot of people know what that is, and it's basically just showing your geek pride, letting your geek flag fly.
Yep.
So
I bought two.
And you can choose what colors you want. Right. I the picture I posted was green, since it seems to be our background for the logos and stuff. I'm not sure how that ended up happening, but that's just how it happened. But right now,
Green Ranger is awesome. There you go. That's how that came.
That's how it happened. Yeah. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are green. So
that's true. That too.
Yeah. So green seems to be the cool color. But right now, you know, it's on the front page of the site. It's the top post. The link is, if you don't want to look at the post, it's cafepress.com/thegeeksftw. And right now we got a coupon code, 20% off your entire order. The code only lasts till Saturday the 9th. I think that's Saturday. Saturday the 9th. That's the last day. I don't know. It's just how it is. I'm not sure if we'll get others. I'm sure we'll have to get others. But the code is 3SK0702 or 00702. And it's spelled 3 as in THREE. So it's on the site. Just go to the site and there's the links to everything and the coupon code in bold. It kind of stands out in the middle of the post. So just check that out and, you know, support us and support, you know, being a geek, basically. And I guess with that, we can finally go into shout-outs. Stuart?
I'd like to shout out Netflix for just being awesome and putting stuff we've been wanting for a long time. It's finally on now. So I can kick back and watch some Netflix for months now.
Yeah, definitely. Longer than months. Shoot, I've got enough stuff to last me like a year's worth.
Yeah.
And they're just...
And I'd also like to shout out my buddy Dustin, who helped me out, who helped make a Geeks Villain video. And you should see it on the site, maybe on our new page somewhere. Before the show is up, I think. So Geeks Will Win is going to have video content now.
Yes, and we're going to have lots of it, because I just got myself a video capturing equipment, so I'm definitely going to be providing content as well as Stuart, so we're finally doing video stuff. Yay!
Yep.
So is that it?
That's it for me. Or, of course, you know, shout out to the writers, Knox, William, myself, Elf, and Dark TJ, and Cookie.
Yeah. I guess. Well, and Paladin, but he wrote one thing, yes, and he said he was gonna.
He does have one thing up.
Yeah, he said he was gonna write like an article for like that Hunted game or whatever or something, and he's played numerous games since then, and I'm thinking, dude, why don't you write articles about those games? But nothing. I don't know. Maybe, hopefully he listens to this and he's like, damn it, I have to get up and do stuff. But I guess Henry, shout out.
Oh yeah, man. Shout out to two of my coworkers, man, that I work with. William Owens, he's actually Will Owens on Twitter, and Jason Wright, man, he's actually SRC28 on Twitter. They're really not on it a whole lot, but hey, shout out to those guys that listen to the podcast. They frequently listen to it whenever they can. Shout out to everybody in the OFR community. Shout out to all the writers at Geeks FTW. Man, and just shout out to everybody around the world.
Alrighty. I guess, you know, shout out to, well, f- first shout out to MediaTemple.net, which is our hosting site. We host with them, and they're awesome because, you know, we have a problem. I just write us, you know, support ticket, and within like less than 2 hours, they have a solution and they help fix it, even if it's something that they really don't normally cover. They save our asses lots of times.
Yes.
The Open Forum Radio, their site, they also use Media Temple too. So, they don't host their podcast with them, but we do with ours. Who else? I guess shout outs to, you know, the writers. You know, we still got some people writing. It just seems like there hasn't been too much going on lately. Oh, I'm hoping that'll change because, you know, it's not a reflection on, you know, the writers, but it's just a reflection on there. It's not much going on right now, but I think it's about to get, you know, it's about to get crazy soon.
It's about to get real, son.
yeah. And I guess, you know, shout outs to, like I said, you know, Paladin, formerly known as iFester. He helped a lot out with, you know, the We Are Geeks logo, and he helped out a lot with getting this t-shirt design because he had to redo it and make it to where it worked. It looked good on fabric because, you know, instead of just plopping our logo and just putting it on a t-shirt, you know, we actually took the time to make it look quality good, and he had to. You know, it took some time for, you know, back and forth, and he did it pretty quickly when I was just saying, whenever you got time, dude, it's not big priority. And he, whenever I need something image done, he ends up doing it pretty quickly, and definitely big shout outs to him. And
yeah, definitely.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Paul is awesome. I don't know if he likes being put out there a whole lot because I know he's already busy. But yeah, man, Paul is awesome, man. He's speechless. He's incredible.
Definitely. And the funniest thing is, I don't know if you two know this. As soon as he makes something and everyone loves it, he instantly like hates it. He just finds flaws with it, and that just means
he's good. Because a good writer or a good artist hates their own work.
I mean, when he made our original logo, we flipped out over it. We were like, oh my god, this is awesome. This is like better than we could ever imagine. And, you know, our website, we basically designed our website around the original logo. And I even, on my Call of Duty emblem, I made our logo. So I tweeted that out, and a lot of people thought that was pretty cool. So,
it was.
I guess that's it, really. Not too many shout-outs.
I do have one more shout-out. You know, I shouted out to us, and I've also got to shout-out his fiance because she came over and cooked for me. And she's an amazing cook. She's fantastic. And just because she felt like it, she made me, just me, a caramel apple cheesecake. Just because she could. And it's wonderful. So I have to shout out her.
Huh. She made it just for you?
Yes.
You better watch it, dude. You may not have a best friend anymore if she's just making you. No.
Oh, no. He was here the entire time, so.
Okay. I was about to say. But, yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing the video stuff you put out and listening to your thoughts on them, and just waiting for the new stuff we're doing. I'm just excited. I really am. 'Cause we're finally doing things we wanted to do, you know, when we started the site.
Yep.
But we knew we couldn't do it because we didn't know how to do all this stuff until now. So, yeah. definitely, guys, you know, thegeeksftw.com. Keep an eye out on it. Put it in your RSS readers, whatever, Google Reader, whatever, however you do it, however you look at, you know, news sites or other sites, posts, whatever, and just, you know, keep an eye out, because Stuart said his first video thing should be up when this is up, so, or before this, so. Definitely check that out. And I guess that's it, you know, episode 52 of the Geeks for the Win. And I guess we'll see you, on We Are Geeks, actually, not before next week, so check that out.
Yep.
Later, everyone.
All right, peace out.
See ya.